Hello everyone. So we have Kevin with us talking about on GSOC with Apache Gcache data store for Apache Kora. So I'm taking this to Kevin.
Hello everyone. I am Kevin Ratnasekara. I'm currently works as a software engineer for WSO2. It's a middleware company. We produce the entire middleware stack. Currently, I'm working as a member of integration technologies team. My current interests are for mainly in the area of distributed system. I have contributed to a number of open source projects in Apache, like Apache Olingo, Apache Gora, etc. And I need to mention that I'm not related to Google or Hazelcast. So we have agenda here for today's talk. First, I'm going to briefly go through what is GSOC and what Apache has contributed to GSOC as a mentoring organization. And I'm going to then briefly introduce the Apache Gora project. And next, I'm going to talk about the JCast data store, which I have implemented for Google Summer of Code 2016. And I briefly talk about the Gcache API and what it does and how it can be used to for your application for caching solutions. And then I'm going to talk about the roadmap for Apache Gora. And after that, I'm going to just conclude the talk. So how many of you know about Google Summer of Code? So then I'm not going to describe what it does and how it works. Basically, when we consider the GSOC statistic for 2016 program, I got this statistic from Google, official Google blogs. It states that there are 1,206 students have participated from 178 open source organization. And overall, 85% has passed their final evaluation. So when we consider the Apache Software Foundation as a mentoring organization, actually Apache has mentored close to around 50 students, and from that 50 students, actually 37 students have completed their final evaluation. So when you consider as Apache for like mentoring organization, actually for 2016 program, there were actually 178 program open source organizations, and from that organization, Apache has contributed to 50 students. So when we consider the statistic, I think Apache has has provided a considerable amount of mentoring for students. So when you consider Apache Software Foundation, currently 175 committees actually managing 294 community-based projects. So when you consider that number, it is quite huge as an open source software foundation. And currently there are 59 projects in incubating. That means Apache has some process to gather the community for newly developing projects, and after the incubating process is completed and when the community has grown to a particular project, it is considered as a Apache top level project. So currently, when you consider the GitHub, there are 870 active repos maintained by 314 active Apache members. That means that it is, when you consider the contribution as an open source foundation, Apache has really achieved a considerable amount of success. So let me summarize what I have talked up to now. When you consider the 2010 and 2016 statistics, Roughly 50 students have participated GSOC with Apache, and Apache has provided roughly around 75 mentors each year. So basically, benefits of GSOC is like there will be new contributors introduced to the project. Some of might which join as long-term contributors, as committers, as PMC members. Not only that, the open source project will get like new features, improvement, bug fixes, those type of. So when we consider GSOC, it is a quite useful thing for spread out the projects and increase the community. So next I'm going to talk about the Apache Gora project. Apache Gora project basically can be considered as an ORM, object relational mapping framework for NoSQL. When you consider NoSQL world, there are different types of technologies coming. So for like average users to hold of these different technologies is really hard. Like if you consider there are APIs for Mongo, and HBase, Cassandra, to get hold of is, all of technologies is really hard. What Apache Gora does is that to abstract the persistent layer for these different types of NoSQL technologies. So basically, Apache Gora provides API to access all this kind of common API for all these different NoSQL technologies. This API is we call Data Stores API, which is actually a common interface for retrieval, alteration, and query. Basically, this common API hides all the detail of implementation of different NoSQL technologies like MongoDB, HBase, etc. And the main use cases which Apache Gora is used for, like Apache Gora data stores can be used to execute MapReduce jobs, and once that jobs is finished, you can persist the results of that jobs to different Gora data stores. And we actually currently recently introduced the Spark backend as well. So typical Gora usage will be you define the persistent bin definition using AvroJSON schema, and you basically then compile using Gora compile to generate Java objects. Then what you do is like create a mapping file which actually maps this Java object schema or fields to physical layout of the backend or persistent database, like when you can see the HBase, which is called column family, or which field which will be mapped to either column family or etc. So then you need to configure the Gora.properties to reflect the data store properties. Like in every case, we have a database client which talk to a cluster. In that case, we do have a set of client properties. We configure those client properties using Gora.properties files. Then you can create data stores using data store factory. There's a good tutorial for this. I just go through the basic step of the Gora usage. If you can follow the tutorial which I have mentioned here, you can get more information for that. So this is the basic abstract API for data store, which you can, if you can see, we have a key value typed exposed API, and we have the methods for accessing data, and alteration of data and deleting data. And we have an API for executing different queries, and there are methods for creating schema and new persistent beans which holds the data. So writing a Gora data store is pretty much easy. What you need to do is you need to implement these abstract classes. Data store base is basically handles all the implementation for if you are writing a data store for Gora. So the data store for HBase, you basically handles all the connection to cluster and those stuff in data store base. Query base is basically represented a query for, if you're writing a data store for HBase, it basically represent a HBase query. And the results base is basically represents the result set for particular query when it is executed on the data store. And you need to provide iterating over that result set, implementation for iterating over the resources. So if you can follow the tutorial I have mentioned here, it's basically explains everything about creating a Maven module for data store, etc. So if you can follow, it will be a great tutorial for writing a Gora data store. So this is, now I have come to the point where actually the need for cache data is come from. It's actually come from the current limitation of the Gora in-memory store. Basically, in-memory store store data using a concurrent skip list match, static concurrent skip list, which is actually limited to a single JVM. So that means you can only create single instance per single JVMs. So that is a limitation. And the memory inside the mem store cannot be shared across the different JVMs. So that means we need some sort of a distributed caching to replicate the state across different JVMs. So another important thing here is the reducing the latency in consecutive reads for same data. So current the implementers that was existed, when we retrieve a particular data, it will always hit the backend. So that means for consecutive data, what we can do is we can provide an intermediate store like cache, and when the data is retrieved, same data is retrieved consecutively, rather than going to the backend, we can retrieve the data from the cache. That will reduce the latency. So another thing, main use case of caching layer is we needed some caching layer irrespective of the persistent data store implementation. That means we write a cache layer that can be used with any persistent store, either HBase, Cassandra, et cetera, any other database. So you'll be have knowledge, some database client may have inbuilt caching, but for our purposes, what we targeted was to implement a cache layer irrespective of the backend implementation. So next, I will briefly talk about the JCache API. Basically, JCache API was introduced to standardize the caches between different vendors. That means when a developer is writing a cache, learning the different caching APIs from different vendors is something tedious to do. So basically, JCache was introduced to standardize the cache API between different vendors. And It will give a command mechanism to create access and update and remove the data from cache. So it provides a set of APIs interfaces. Basically, it doesn't actually specify anything about underlying implementation like data distribution and network topology. And in distributed caching, it doesn't provide any implementation details on wire-level protocols to use between to talk into in nodes distributed. So currently, JCache API is implemented by different vendors like Cache, InfiniSpan, and Hazelcache. So why JCache is that when you have a common API, you can what you can do is like you don't have to learn all the stuff from different vendors. So once you are import that particular interface and write your code in different circumstances, you can plug the different implementation for that interface by different vendors. So basically, you get the portability of plug and play different vendor implementations. And the next thing is the developer productivity. That means once you have learned the JCache API, you don't need to learn other stuff, other implementation details and vendor-specific APIs details. So the learning curve is smaller because once you have learned the JCache, it's done. So basically, JCache API is pretty much similar to the Concurrent Map API. Basically, Concurrent Map and JCache caches actually expose the same key value API and supports atomic updates. But the differences comes from like the caches only maintains a portion of a set of entries from a backend story. So there can be cases where the cached data content can be outdated, so and stale. So in that cases, there should be a mechanism to expire the cache entries in the cache inside the cache and evicted from the cache. So there are so we need some sort of policies in that case to expire the cached entries. And for concurrent hash map, all entries are stored in heap. But for JCache caches, the entries can be stored in anywhere. That means in a separate machine or in a separate network location. The other thing is, usually the map interface stores the data entries by reference, but for JCache caches, actually it supports both the store by value and store by reference. By store by what means by store by reference is it basically in different caching implementations, like in distributed caches, we need to serialize the content and convert it to a byte array and send it across the network and deserialize again and create the object. So in that case, we need some sort of binary format for Java objects. So modern caching implementations have this different serialization implementation embedded to their caches. So the other differences comes from the caches needs to be integrated with another resources or persistent storage. In that case, we usually need some sort of loaders and writers for the caches. That means if particular key is not present in the cache, we need to fetch it from the persistent storage with loaders. And in other cases, the case where we need to write or we need to sync back with another backend storage, we need to write the updates to that particular storage system. And JCache API provide like entry listeners for caching events, like when you're putting a cache, putting a data to a cache, we need to like sort of callbacks registered, so it will trigger events. So when a particular cache event like cache data added, cache data removed, update like events. Also, JCache exposes statistics like cache hit percentage, cache miss percentage, like those are will be actually exposed over in beans, and any JMX client can be used to retrieve those data. So in this slide, I'm basically I have provided a sample code for creating a cache, JCache based cache instance. Basically, we in first line actually basically we are explicitly calling the Hazelcast JCache provider, and from that provider we are creating a cache manager instance, and the, from third line basically we are creating a cache configuration. At there we can specify cache configurations like key class to be used, value class to be used, and read by value, read by value or reference, and those configuration related properties. And then we, from the cache manager, we are creating a cache instance from that configuration. Basically, caching providers manage the lifecycle of cache managers, and cache managers manages the lifecycle of the cache. That means creating or destroying caches is done by cache manager, and creating or deleting cache managers is done by the caching provider. This is basically give you a brief introduction on cache, JCache, loaders, and writers. Actually, the purpose of cache loaders and cache writers is to integrate with a particular data storage or persistent database or anything. So the slides provides the cache loader and cache writer writer interfaces. Basically, one who needs to write a custom cache loader or cache writer, he just basically needs to extend these interfaces and writes their own implementation for calling a persistent storage or any other resource. Once that implementation is done, you can register the cache loader and cache writer interfaces to the cache configuration. And you need to, and the other important thing is to, you need to enable the read-write through enable at cache configuration. Next, I'm going to briefly talk about cache entry listeners. Basically, when a cache entry is created or expired or updated or removed, we need to sort of fire events and need to know what's happened. And in that case, what we do is we register a cache listener. And once that particular event happens, it will dispatch that listener event. So it is particularly useful in distributed caches, because when you put an entry to a cache in another node, you might be interested in what happened using with respect to another node. So for this, we might be needed to have a custom cache entry listener. You basically need to extend the interface provided and register it in the cache configuration. When such event happens, it will basically dispatch or call the method in that listener. So why we have choose Hazelcast is basically it the license compliance with the Apache. And it adds some rich window additions such as asynchronous operations for read and write and flexi eviction policies. When you specify expiry policy, it will be applied globally. But using flexi eviction, you can actually specify expiry policy per entry. And the next rich window specific addition is near cache. Basically, you can cache entries over the client side. So basically, without reaching a cluster with network traffic, you can basically cache an entry at the client side to reduce the latency. And Hazelcast basically API provides data distributed and partitioning stuff. Like if you know the particular key, you using the Hazelcast API, you can basically know which node actually hosts the data. So I'm next going to talk about the basic design of the JCash data. So basically, what we do here is implement a wrapper to the existing persistent data store implementation. So the caching data store will be implemented as a separate data store. And what we do is we basically delegates all the stuff to the persistent data store as depicted in the picture. This is the basic configuration which you can do to apply caching layer over a persistent data store in Apache Gora. For add a caching layer over a Apache Gora persistent DB, what you can do is add the gora.cache.datastore.default specifying the JCache store, and there you need to provide the JCache provider. Here I'm specifying the Hazelcast provider, full qualified class name, and you need to provide some properties related to JCache store, like JCache Hazelcast config, which is basically the network configuration for Hazelcast nodes. Like, there are a couple of properties. Those properties are well documented in the Apache Gora module sample. So basically what we do is for any persistent storage like HBase store or Cassandra or any store, you can that persistent store can be exposed over a caching layer. To create a caching data store, you basically need to call one of these overload constructors, get data store in data store factory, stating that you are enabling caching over that persistent store. In the first statement, we are basically talking to persistent store over the cache. The second, we are specifying that we are no longer needing the cache, so we are passing it the Boolean parameter as false. So in that case, the data store directly talks to the persistent store. So the next important design decision we took is to make the per system being serializable. So in distributed caches, what we need is to serialize the content and send it over to another node. and deserialize from there. So in that cases, we need some sort of mechanisms to serialize the content and convert it to the binary data, and that binary data is needed to be converted to deserialized and converted to the Java object itself. So what we have found is we tried two approaches, Java serialization and writing custom serialization. The problem is Java's serialization is that the Avro specific record class level instances might contain UTF-8 and byte buffer or generic array, that kind of instances. Those are not in serializable form. So what we do is we wrote a custom Avro serializer by extending the externalizable interface. So the good thing about extending the externalizable interface is that you can plug any serializable mechanism. So in next slide, basically it shows the read external and write external methods, which I have implemented to basically convert the Avro specific record to binary format, and from binary format we are converting it to the Java object form. So possible improvement for this project lies in the caching performance is generally dependent on the serialization and the deserialized process. So one thing we can do is experiment with different serialization method. The Hazelcast block I have mentioned here actually compares different serialization methods. So you can have a look at it. And then the possible improvements that can be do if in the direction of we can make the data stores to take a dynamic JCache provider. Current JCache implementation is coupled to Hazelcast because we have used some of the vendor specific additions like eviction policy, etc. So those are the possible improvements we can do. And there's a sample which I have written, so you can kind of look at this. And the references for the project can be found in these URLs. So basically, roadmap for Gora contains these improvements, exposing data store functionalities over the data store, over the REST API, and improve data store support for different backends. Currently, Gora uses the Avro as a serialization format. For a serialization mechanism, we can we can replace that with Apache Thrift or protocol buffers. So we recently introduced Apache Spark support. Extending execution engine support, batch processing support, like Apache Flink, etc. So I have come to the conclusion. So basically, contribute to Apache Gora and join the GSOC effort. Thanks.
Thanks, Kevin.